Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time. La da da da.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We have another 1961 show for you from Jack Benny. This is our part of our Jack Benny special summer, where we're presenting Jack Benny specials. This special was an interesting one, different than anything else we've seen him in. It's a really lovely capturing of maybe a little bit what it was like with him going and entertaining all the symphonies and orchestras across the country and helping a lot of them. And so it gets more into that and explains that a little better. There's a part where Jack Benny's in it and they're presenting an award to him. That's just a lovely thing for Jack. And he does a really nice job accepting the award and all of that. I think what I'm going to do is, with any luck, in my editing skills, I think I'm going to cut that part out, leave it where it is, of course, but duplicate it and throw it on the front, because I think some people might not be as into listening to all the orchestra music to get to that piece, which is quite far into the show.
We can also give them a timestamp of fast forward to X to
find. Yeah. So. Which is, it's about 40 minutes in, I think, is when they hit the part where Jack's going to be doing his thing. But the thing is, it's hard to tell because we're going to have us added to the front of it. So 40 minutes in is 40 minutes from the end of when we stop talking. So that's always tricky to figure out. So I'll probably just throw it, like I say, duplicate it at the beginning because it was short. It was a couple minutes, 3 minutes, I don't know, 5 minutes long at most. Anyway, let's go around and chat about this. I'm so glad they made it. And I'm so glad we have it. For a long time, it was I had a highlights of it or something, but I liked having the whole thing. So this is nice having the whole thing. Let's go over to John first. John, what were your thoughts?
Oh, I loved this episode. I thought it was so fun. You know, it's just the vibe of like Carnegie Hall and everyone's in formal dress. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was delightful. Jack Benny, I thought this was a great sort of like window into his live performances and what maybe it would have been like when he was on stage with Philharmonic orchestras when he went on tour around. Mm-hmm. And I really was not expecting, and I loved all of the other performances. Yeah. From the classical orchestra to the operatic singer. You know, she was dressed to the nines. She looked like a Disney princess. I feel like even when people are dressed formal, you know, they don't have the gloves and the tiara anymore. I thought that was delightful, you know, peek back in time and like a high society. Yeah. But my favorite part was the Benny Goodman sextet. Yeah. Or whatever. You know, it's Benny Goodman who plays clarinet, right? Is that right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they got the drums, the guitar, the upright bass, and the greatest jazz xylophone I've ever seen. That was so fun. Yeah, so yeah. I enjoyed the whole thing. Maybe if we get time later, I could talk about the whole Carnegie Hall background if you don't have much information on that. But
yeah, we'd love that. Okay. Kathy, your thoughts on it?
Well, again, thank you, Daryl. I'd not seen this before, and it was both lovely and lovely to learn more about it. And it's the kind of thing I need to ask the family, do you have that plaque still? Because that would be one I would keep if I were the grandchildren. But at Benny's collection at the University of Wyoming, there are like 10 boxes filled with plaques and statues and awards and things like that. And they don't really tell you in the finding aid which one. So I'd have to open up all 10 boxes to find this plaque, but it seems to me that that this award is something that would have meant a lot to Jack Benny, because it's Isaac Stern and the board of Carnegie Hall. Yeah. Saluting him not for all the work he's been doing with symphonies in the past year or two from 61 back. He had made at least something between 20 or 23 appearances with symphony orchestras, and he'd raised $2 million for their pension funds and to help the symphony orchestras across America stay in business and alive. That's more than $20 million in today money. Yeah. Which is, you know, is quite something.
Right. Even $2 million today is significant, but $20 million, that's amazing.
$20 million in today money is yeah. You know, so they said it's lovely of his friend Isaac Stern to care, you know, I mean, to want to honor him this way. It was also, this was a fundraising event also for Carnegie Hall. While it was free to get in, the only way to get a ticket was if you'd gone to the $50 a plate fancy dinner at the Waldorf Astoria, or if you had donated money to the Carnegie Hall Restoration Fund. So no wonder the audience was pretty fancy schmancy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I loved how the audience all dressed up. They looked great too. So yeah. Anyway, Hope, what was your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I feel like I've seen bits and parts of it before, but it was great to see in its entirety. I feel kind of similar to how others have stated, like, it's a good insight into like his traveling kind of life of performing. And I feel like whenever I see like him performing the violin with a professional, I always feel like you're getting also a glimpse of him doing vaudeville and what it must have been like to develop these little bits in vaudeville. There's tiny little moments where you're like, okay, this is where you get the fiddle phonology.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I love seeing that and seeing that develop. I did like the Benny Goodman bit as well. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, it's just wonderful how they put this together. They were definitely thinking about audience attention span and the whole thing and trying to keep it flowing and moving, and they did a nice job for back then, because back then, of course, it is slower than today's audience is used to. Yeah. But at the time, they kept it moving, so that makes it today's audience to be able to go, okay, I just got to remember this is 1961, so this is a long time ago. Yeah. And they just didn't take things at the pace we do today at all. But nothing like this could exist today. I mean, you're never going to see a performance like this, maybe on PBS or something, but mm-hmm. even then, they're not going to present it in this this length and everything. They'd make it maybe a half hour or something, or have the first half hour be saying how you could donate to them and they'd send you the DVD. Oh, but anyway, because that's what they do. So anyway,
$20.99.
Yes, you get this.
at a tote bag.
So. Full access to PBS online for a year.
No, but it's just, like I say, I'm so glad it exists, because this is a part of Jack that we talk about, we mention it, but you never get a chance to really see it or experience it. It was the live Jack. It was the Jack going out to these orchestras, and he did so much with this. One thing that strikes me that shows me how much of this there is you can go to eBay any day of the week and type in Jack Benny concert program, and they will have these versions to sell. I have one. I think most of us probably have one that we decided to pick up at some point. But he just did so many performances that they're always available. Somebody's always selling their program from a performance that he did wherever. Those are charming to get. But this gives you a chance to actually feel like you're there, and which is nice.
Do you guys know sort of the history and where in the timeline this is as far as Jack's, you know, like my wife said, oh, he's actually pretty good. So like, when did he start practicing? Okay. What was that all about?
Well, I have an article from one of the fans. I think this was TV Radio Mirror did a nice article about the run up to this show. And it says that that it had started a few months before. Okay, wait. So who can recognize this show? Jack says, it all started with one of my regular TV shows. I was supposed to have had a big fight with my sponsor. I went home mad and said I should have stuck with the violin. Then I fell asleep and had this dream where I was the guest soloist with the Los Angeles Symphony. In a situation like this, you can't play badly to get laughs. The fact is, you surprise your audience by being able to get through the Mendelssohn. The humor comes from the small, annoying things that happen, or through other musicians trying to take the play away from you. I hadn't really played the violin for years. So for a month before this show, I had to practice several hours a day. Let's face it, I'm not 39 anymore, and my fingers weren't supple and I'd lost the touch. So whenever that episode was, which he says sometime was in the previous season, maybe 1960 or something like that, if we can look at. So that's what this article says. That got Jack into doing it. And then that's when Isaac Stern then contacted him and said, hey, can you help us? I'm in charge. I'm heading the fund to try and save Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's something I wanted to talk about. Yeah. So, okay, so this is what I read. Correct me if you know details and I get something wrong. But so they're building this new, you know, big place. What's it called? The
Lincoln Center.
Lincoln Center for the Philharmonic Orchestra to go. So since the Philharmonic is going to be moving from Carnegie Hall as their home to this other place, it left Carnegie Hall without that income from the Philharmonic Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, they couldn't pay their bills and it looked like it was in limbo and they tried a couple different fundraisers. It didn't really work out. And then they got Isaac Stern on board and he just, you know, he really worked his magic. He talked to the government, get it to be eventually, I don't think it was quite yet at this point, but they eventually made it a historical site. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he raised the money and you sort of need a face to be somebody to raise money. And so he, as a, you know, great violinist, was that face. And they raised the money. The I think the people who owned it dropped the price practically in half as a way to be able to save it. And I think the sort of the way they sold it was, this is not going to be a competing, you know, place anymore. It's going to be an educational center. And so they did it. They raised the money. They steamed the carpets and everything. And they replaced the curtains and so restored the whole thing. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yay. That is pretty cool. Yeah.
And they renamed the main auditorium the Stern Auditorium in his honor.
Ah.
I learned. So.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
What is the marvelous movie with Meryl Streep where she plays the crazy lady who wants to sing at Carnegie Hall? That's one of my favorite in color movie versions of something going on inside Carnegie Hall. It's the name of the woman, strange name. But if you want to see a color movie of what Carnegie Hall looks like.
There you go. Yeah,
I always think of the classic joke of how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, yes. practice. And actually, in this episode, there's a joke that I had seen all over Twitter for the past 5 or 10 years, credited to Jack Benny. The joke is, I really don't deserve this award, but I have arthritis, and I don't deserve that either. And these are from these quote, Twitter pages where all they do is they recycle quotes that they've heard. And you never know if any of them are actually real, right? Because I had never heard Jack Benny say this. I'm like, is that really a Jack Benny quote? Does he even have arthritis? Mm-hmm. And then I watched this episode and you sort of see where they got it from. And it seems like he's quoting somebody else. So it's not really by Jack Benny, but he's gotten the credit. You know.
Well, later on, he does do this. He does say that at the various award shows and things. But he does it like it's him. This time he was quoting somebody else or describing a situation from somebody else. And later on, I think he realized, oh, nobody really knew about the quote anyway, so I'm just going to take it out of my mind. So, which obviously worked, because like you say, I'd always thought it was just him, a direct quote from him, from his later years, of course, you know. But
well, it fits because it's self-deprecating, you know.
Yes.
So that's sweet. I found a little something, a fun little article in the New York Times about before the show. The show was actually taped on like April the 3rd, 1961, mm-hmm. and then shown in September. But there's a little article from the rehearsal.
Oh, fantastic. For this program. Go ahead.
And it says, Jack Benny and Isaac Stern engaged in some musical horseplay at Carnegie Hall yesterday, and the Philadelphia Orchestra enjoyed itself to the last measure. Informality was the tone of an afternoon rehearsal for an evening videotaping of Carnegie Hall Salutes Jack Benny, an effort to honor the comedian and collect contributions for the Carnegie Society. Mr. Benny, wearing slacks and a sleeveless sweater and brandishing his violin, entered with Mr. Stern over a maze of camera cables. His entrance was the signal for a cacophonous rendition of his theme song, Love in Bloom, played by the orchestra under the direction of Eugene Ormandy. So I love the fact that they're joking it up and playing him in under a Phil Harris style, Love in Bloom. The first movement of Bach's Concerto for Two Violins, played by Mr. Stern and Mr. Benny, was well received by the orchestra, which snickered and then laughed outright as Mr. Stern solemnly corrected Mr. Benny's timing. Mr. Stern said to Mr. Benny, "I wish you'd play C sharp." "Where?" asked Mr. Benny. "Where it's written," Mr. Stern advised. The rehearsal almost halted when Mr. Benny turned over a page of his score and found a small white card bearing him dubious greetings from an orchestra member. The orchestra howled. So, you know, you can just sort of imagine something rude. Roberta Peters, soprano of the Metropolitan Opera, Van Cliburn, the pianist, and Benny Goodman's jazz sextet were also part of the show. As Miss Peters took the stage, she received appreciative whistles from the orchestra members. So, cat whistles for Miss Peters. So the taping of the show took place later before an invited dress audience of city officials and figures from the entertainment world. A $50 plate supper at the Waldorf Astoria followed the show, which will be shown over CBS TV in September. And so I won't read it. I'll post it in the thing, but the eventual Variety review of the show is really ugly. About, they say that, you know, the gum chewers in the audience will be really bored by this, but they kept it light. And, you know, maybe, you know, that's, they said if viewers turned in hoping this was a comedy show, they were gravely disappointed. But there were like 10 minutes of comedy for the yokels. And so
kind,
you know, rude, but circa 1961, thinking of how dopey the average television viewer is. So I'll post that later.
Well, it's so interesting because at the time, the players in the orchestra sometimes would need a second job. So a lot of them were apparently construction workers because they're used to whistling at the women as they come. I love that, though. I love the behind-the-scenes looks and things like that. That's fantastic. And just a wonderful treat. I'm just, because there's nothing else like this. I mean, we present lots of things, and lots of things you go, oh, okay, that's similar to when he did this, or that's similar when he did that. This, you can't really say that. This, you kind of go, this stands alone as a unique piece of Jack Benny's history, and we're so glad to have it. And then the other piece that we presented earlier, the Checkmate show that folks have probably watched by now, also is a unique piece of Jack Benny history because he doesn't do a lot of guest appearances on other people's shows and playing characters that aren't himself. Really, we don't get that, and you have to go all the way back to his films to pull that off. So two wonderful treats for you that we put together, I think, and I hope you enjoy this one, and we'll move on from there. So join us next time as we bring you more of our Jack Benny special summer. So thanks, everybody. Nice job. And we're out of here. Bye, everybody.
Well, this is really a big night for you, isn't it, Mr. Benny?
Sure is.
Are you nervous?
No, but I must say, this is quite a tribute for a fiddler like me. Imagine the people on this program. I mean, there's Isaac Stern, Van Cliburn, Roberta Peters, Benny Goodman and his sextet, and Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Gosh. Hey, you want to know something? You know, I didn't always play the violin.
No?
Oh, I used to play the fife.
Did you? Oh, yes. I've seen pictures of you playing the fife.
You have?
Yes, there were three of you. One guy had a flag, and there was a little boy playing a drum.
That was another trio. 1 minute, Mr. Benny. 1 minute. Coming. Coming.
You sure you aren't nervous, Mr. Benny?
No, look, I've been around too long to get nervous. Well, that's it. I forgot something.
The first first half brought to you by the kitchens of Sara Lee, bakers of America's best-loved cakes, and the new Sara Lee apple and spice cake. But first, a true story about the famous little Sara Lee baker. This is the true story of a little baker who wanted to bake the very best cakes. He loved good cakes, so naturally he wanted to use the very best ingredients. His boss said, "Don't put such good stuff in. No one can tell the difference." But he could tell the difference, and he knew others could too. So off he went and built his own bakery. The Kitchens of Sara Lee, named for his little daughter. Now he went shopping. He bought farm-fresh eggs, rich whole milk, grade AA creamery butter, the very best of everything. Then he went to work. And there it was, the most fabulous coffee cake ever. Sara Lee All-Butter Pecan Coffee Cake. And it was so good, he ate it all up. But he made more like it, and a wonderful cinnamon nut coffee cake, too. Soon, people everywhere heard about his coffee cakes, and his bakery grew and grew and grew. Today, every Sara Lee cake is still baked with the same loving care. And you can find them right now at your grocer's, completely baked, ready to serve and enjoy.
Welcome to Carnegie Hall. Join this distinguished audience, gathered here to see some of America's most illustrious performers, pay tribute to this beloved building and to salute Jack Benny. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra playing the Colas Brugnon Overture by Kavalevsky.
Ladies and gentlemen, you doubtless remember that a little over a year ago, Carnegie Hall was condemned for demolition. Through the foresight and enthusiasm of Isaac Stern, one of the world's greatest violinists, and several of his colleagues, Carnegie Hall was saved. It is my great pleasure and honor to introduce to you the president of Carnegie Hall, who is, however, much better known to you as Isaac Stern, one of the great violinists who is going to play the Scherzando movement from Lalo's Sinfonia Española.
Thank you. To continue this tribute, we reach into our rich musical heritage of jazz. Carnegie has been host to some brilliant concerts in this unique, peculiarly American form of vitality in music. And who could represent that more beautifully and more strongly than the beloved and respected King of Swing himself, ladies and gentlemen, Benny Goodman and his sextet.
Now, the famous little Sara Lee Baker introduces his newest Sara Lee cake.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great moment at the kitchens of Sara Lee. The little Sara Lee Baker is about to present his new Sara Lee Apple and Spice Cake. There's never been a cake like this before. The secret of its wonderful flavor is in the ingredients. The flavor of orchard fresh apples skillfully blended with imported spices. And plenty of grade AA creamery butter. Apple and Spice Cake. Mmm. And wait till you taste that toasted hazelnut icing. The most fabulous frosting a cake ever had. That's why the little baker says... Oh, there he is. Well, you won't be able to resist Sara Lee cake either. You'll find Sara Lee cakes featured now at your favorite grocers, completely baked, ready to serve and enjoy.
And now I take great pleasure in presenting a beautiful lady, a beautiful singer, and a superb artist singing the aria Caronomi from Verdi's Rigoletto, Miss Roberta Peters.
Thank you. 1961 is not only the 70th anniversary of Carnegie Hall. It is the centennial for the year for the greatest American composer, Edward McDowell. The final movement of his second piano concerto will be played tonight by a brilliant young pianist who has won a unique place in the hearts of all Americans, Mr. Van Cliburn.
And now, a lilting limerick about Sara Lee and the new apple and spice cake.
A sweet southern belle named Dinah won every cake prize in Carolina till she tried Sara Lee and cried,
"Oh, mercy me! These cakes are much finer than mine are."
Finer indeed. And wait till you try the new Sara Lee apple and spice cake at your grocer's now. Completely baked and iced, ready to serve and enjoy.
Staff of Carnegie Hall salutes Jack Benny, brought to you by Motorola, a new leader in the lively art of electronics. What if? What if cars had radios? In 1930, Paul Galvin asked and found the answer. The first Motorola car radio. The beginning of Motorola leadership. To the questions endlessly beginning with what if, Motorola found answers. Grew, led the field in FM two-way radio. And Motorola's handy talkie radio was up front. After the war, Motorola was first with a popular priced television set. Remember? Motorola TV. Motorola scientists in Phoenix helped develop the famed Mesa transistor. Just one of many Motorola contributions to major American space projects. Making the unknown known. And Motorola introduced new ideas in stereo hi-fi, reproducing the original works of art. Big screen television in an all-transistor portable you didn't need to plug in. The shirt pocket radio. And fine Motorola television housed in cabinets designed by Drexel. The shape of things to come. Motorola molecular electronics, magnified to be seen, but so fantastic in their function, they will revolutionize the world we live in and bring us closer to the stars. Motorola, new leader in the lively art of electronics. And now to continue our concert, ladies and gentlemen. The first movement of the Bach Concerto for two violins in D minor. Our soloists, Mr. Jack Benny and Mr. Isaac Stern.
Thank you. all the difference.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This is a joyous evening for us, for Carnegie Hall, for all of you around the country, for whom this means so much to this hall. And it's a joy, too, because tonight we're honoring a really remarkable man, one of the truly beloved comedians of our century. A violinist, albeit a remarkable, not a peculiar violinist, but a violinist, and a tireless fundraiser for the symphony orchestras of the United States. And one more thing, Jack. All of us as musicians want you to know how we feel about your attitude towards music. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a man who in his comedy, at any time, has never made fun of music, only of himself. And for this, we thank him. And to commemorate this evening, not only the performance, the concert, but also his acceptance as an artist, we have this plaque. I read a few lines from it. Carnegie Hall, on behalf of all the orchestras throughout the country that you have so marvelously helped, we present this plaque to you, Jack Benny, with affection and esteem for your dedicated and untiring efforts in the cause of good music and the welfare and dignity of the working musician. In raising over $2 million, not only for charitable causes, but for the funds of the orchestras themselves, we here now say, throughout the country and publicly, thank you, Jack Benny.
You know, when a
anybody gets an introduction like that, he usually stands up and says that I do not deserve this tribute. Remind me, once Jessel introduced somebody in Baltimore, a man, a businessman, not even a comedian. He got up, and Jessel had used some superlative adjectives in introducing him, you know, said what a wonderful, how great he was, what a wonderful man, charitable. This fella got up and he said, I really don't deserve those kind words. He said, but I've got arthritis, and I don't deserve that either. But I actually, ladies and gentlemen, do not deserve this plaque tonight, because at each one of these concerts that I have given, perhaps 22 or 23, I've given them all with a selfish motive. And the selfish motive is that I love to play the violin. You know, I actually do. Why it does anybody else any good, I'll never know. You know? But I really love the violin. If I weren't playing here in Carnegie Hall tonight, I would just as soon go outside and play on the corner of 57th and 7th Avenue. I assure you I'd make more money than I made in here. And of course, giving these concerts under the cloak of charity, you see, permits me to play the violin, and these musicians are forced to accompany me. These good ones. But I must tell you about my friend Isaac here, who is probably the closest friend I have in the field of music. So close that he insults me quite often. You know what he said to me? You won't believe this. He asked me one day, he said, Jack, would you please, he says, how would you like to give a concert in San Francisco, where the orchestra needs the money badly? So I said to him, well, Isaac, San Francisco's your hometown. Why don't you give the concert? He says, Jack, fellas like us can only get $5.50 a ticket. You got to be pretty bad to get $100 for this. And I actually do. You know, I give concerts, we get $100 a ticket. Now, let me tell you how they arrange those seats. The $5 seats are in front, right here. Then they have a little further back, the $25 seats, and about the middle house, the $50. And way in back, the last five rows are $100 a ticket. Now, if you'll pay $200 a ticket, you don't have to come in at all. Those are the tickets they fight for. Those, you'd be surprised. Make a fortune out of those. And, you know, actually, with these, I've been referred to as the Van Gogh of the violinists. Because not long ago, I gave a concert in Dallas with the Dallas Symphony, and a woman got up in the middle. I was playing Mendelssohn. She got right up and she said, my God, he's lost his ear. You know, and this thing. And it couldn't have meant. It couldn't have meant anything else. You know? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really very, very grateful this evening. I want to thank Mr. Stern, who made all of this possible. I also want to thank this wonderful Philadelphia Orchestra and Mr. Ormandy for appearing. And all of the great artists who appeared on the stage tonight, and everybody associated with this affair, for giving me or paying me the finest compliment that I believe I've ever received. in my life. Thank you very much.
Mr. Isaac Stern, playing the shotgun from Bach's Partita in D minor. Motorola Stereo Hi-Fi, playing back the sound of the original. The world's finest music, reproduced in lifelike detail on Motorola's magnificent Carnegie Hall salute. Three separate amplifiers, three separate speaker systems, not just two, bring you the brilliance of the concert hall performance. Mr. Isaac Stern, enjoying the sound of music beautifully reproduced on Motorola Stereo Hi-Fi. This model, the Carnegie Hall Salute, is especially priced. $299.39 for a limited time. Motorola Stereo Hi-Fi. See it, hear it at your Motorola dealers.
We conclude our program with Eugene Ormaday conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra in the polka and fugue from the opera Schwanda by Weinberger. The second half of Carnegie Hall Salutes Jack Benny has been brought to you by
Motorola, a new leader in the lively art of electronics.
The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Circle Theater will return 2 weeks from tonight on most of these stations. Jack Benny returns for another great season of laughs Sunday, October 15th on the CBS Television Network.